Well, thank you to all who have expressed that they've been praying for me as I come up this Sunday morning. Thank you. Yeah. And Rob, good job at that prayer. I want to make sure you guys, when they come up here and they pray, tell them good job, because then they'll want to do it again. Don't go roast them. But if they don't step up to it, they'll roast them. But Rob just stepped up right up to it. So good job, Rob. So this morning, as I present, the Lord's put on my heart to relax. That's the word, is to relax. As I've been preparing it, as I've been thinking about it, I only had like a week notice. So other lessons that I've presented up here, I put a lot of time into. And the Lord's like, I'll do all of that. Don't worry about it. I have notes and stuff, but just to relax. If I go too fast this morning, tell me. You guys tell Glenn and Eric, tell me, all right? If you guys aren't understanding something I'm saying because of the way I'm presenting it, tell me. If you have questions, please ask. I want the questions. I want to make sure that we are understanding what the Lord's put on my heart to present this morning. Have you guys ever received the question from someone, how are you and the Lord doing? I'm always like, how am I supposed to answer that? Like, if I'm honest, they might start counseling me. But that's the honest truth. You know, I'm growing here. I'm not done yet. If I lie, well, I'm lying to them, and I'm just really just like, I'm doing great. You know, just, we're not going to go, we're doing super. And have you guys ever said, how many of you guys have answered that question differently, though? Someone's like, how are you doing with the Lord? And you're like, and you actually give them the honest answer. Nah, we don't really do it. But this morning, oh, we got one honest person. Okay, I think we're doing good then. This morning, I believe the Lord's going to challenge us, though. He's going to open up areas of our life and kind of zoom in and say, hey, this is an area we need to focus on. And for each of us, I think it's going to be different. I don't know why, but for a long, long time, probably at the beginning of my walk with the Lord a few years ago, I just always had this perspective in my life that whatever I did, I wanted to please the Lord. Just what I want to do at the end of my life. When I stand before the Lord, I want him to say, well done, Stephen. You did amazing. You did exactly what I asked you to. Your time on earth was spent superb. You did well with your life. How many of you guys are like that? I think that's what we should be aiming for. But that aim is actually, it's a focus on eternity. I have this focus in my mind that the Lord reminds me continually. Focus on eternity. Yeah, do what you're doing here today, but do it with the reminder, hey, there is an eternal reward that's out there that you are going to receive. Do it for eternity. One day you're going to stand before me, and then it's eternity after that. And so do it with the perspective of eternity in mind. Amen. All right? Yeah, so that's going to be our word. That's going to be, eternity is going to be on our head tonight, but also service. But before we go on, here's where I think the Lord is going to open us up this morning. He's going to say, hey, this area of your life you're doing great in, continue doing that. You may not be sure about whether or not this is an area that the Lord agrees with or is going forward. Maybe you have other voices in your life telling you otherwise, but I think the Lord's going to say, no, that is good. I agree with this. There's going to be areas where the Lord's saying, you're struggling to get there. This is the adjustment that you need to make. And then he's going to say, I don't even know where you are in this spectrum, but you're not where I need you to be. So let's come back to focus. Okay, and I think with each of us, it's going to be different. All of us are in different places in our life. We all have different things going on. This week, we went on a camping trip we just had three of the boys with us. We had Robert, Joey, and Trevor with us. And you learn a lot about people when you go camping with them, especially young guys. Oh yeah, he learned something. No, I was gonna mention that is, you know, while we were there, we had a lesson every morning and every night. In the morning, they spent no less than 45 minutes in prayer and scripture and devotion. And I was like, yeah, they're going after it, and we're training them how to do this. And Robert, have you continued doing that? A little bit. Joey, have you continued doing that? No, Joey. Oh my. At least he's honest, right? At least he's honest. Oh, Joey, come on up. I'll go with it. Okay. Pray, Joey, that we receive what the Lord has for us this morning.
All right. Dear God, I pray this sermon's good. I pray that you open up people's hearts today and receive the word that Steve is bringing us. Amen.
Amen. So, good job, Joey. This morning, as we go into it, let's posture ourselves to receive from the Lord. I think there are moments where we just block ourselves off to God, where we're saying, nope, nothing's getting here. I'm just a wall. I'm going to defend myself. There's other times where we're just open and vulnerable, and we allow him in, and he then works on us. So let's open ourselves up this morning. But what I was going to say about the camping trip, you learn a lot about him, where to focus in, where more work needs to happen, where you need to teach him how to build things. I've been telling everybody, like, the highlight for me was watching these guys try to build a pine cone tower with twine and pine cones, and it took them, I don't know, about 45 minutes to do this. I had to go yay high, and I was watching. I was like, we need to teach you guys how to do this. I don't think Rob has an excuse, because his dad over there is basically a master at building stuff, but the other two, we're going to have to work on that. So let's go. We're just going to go into it. We're going to go to Luke 19. We're going to start at verse 11. I thought a lot about which passage I was going to use this morning. I really enjoy this because of the situation that the disciples and Jesus are in when he's talking about this. So, as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they had supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. And he said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his servants hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. He said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I have kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words. You wicked servant, you knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that everyone who has more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And then, but as for the enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. So I thought I should read that whole thing. We're gonna tear this apart this morning. We're going to open it up because at the end of the day, I want to serve the Lord the best I can. I want to be a pleasing servant to him. To understand what this parable is talking about, we're going to go to verse 11. And it starts out and tells us why Jesus tells this parable. He's telling this parable because the disciples have a false understanding of the coming of the kingdom of God. They think it's going to appear immediately. He's approaching Jerusalem. They're expecting something to happen immediately. Whether he's going to take over, they know he has power. They've seen him heal. They've seen him do miracles. They've seen raise people from the dead. So they're expecting something. And Jesus stops and says, no, let me tell you how it's going to be. I have come to establish my kingdom. You are correct. That is why I'm here. But I'm going to leave. And then I will return again. And that is when I will establish the kingdom of God. And so we're in that in-between. We right now are expecting his return when he establishes the kingdom of God. But there's work to be done in between. So we expect, but when Jesus comes back, he's going to expect a return from us. There's work that he will have expected us to have done. Does that make sense? I mean, if he comes back, we're like, yes, Jesus is here. He's we're doing. He's like, okay, show me what you have done. And we're like, well, I've just been waiting, really. Like, but I'm here. We're excited. We threw this big party. We have balloons. We have all of that. He's like, no, show me what you have done. How have you used these gifts that I've given you? How have you used the Holy Spirit, which is inside of you? If you have nothing to show, I don't want to be that guy, right? How do you guys want to be that guy? No. But at some point, I have to ask myself, yeah.
That guy just didn't fail. That guy rebelled.
Yes, he rebelled, yeah. He rebelled. What Glenn is saying is the guy that did not serve well, it wasn't just that he didn't understand what he was to do. It's not that he just, you know, thought, well, maybe I can get by with doing this. He just straight out rebelled. He knew what he was supposed to do and went against it. And now leaving here today, none of us can say we didn't know what we were supposed to do, because that's what we're going to tackle today. I love this point. We have a job to do. We're going to discuss what that job is in a second, but you have the tools to do that job. You possess them right now. In verse 13, it says that the nobleman, calling his servants, gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. He gave them what they needed to accomplish what he wanted. Does that make sense? You have what you need to accomplish what the Lord wants. And he wants to use you, and he's given you everything you need. Now, this story parallels great to what has actually happened, we know has happened. When Jesus left, he told his disciples, go, be my witness. But before he says that, what does he say? You will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can go and do his will. We can go and do the job that he has planned out for us. You have the tools. You have what you need to do what the Lord is expecting you to do. Does that make sense? Everyone understand that? Are we following along? Okay. I see nodding heads. I like nodding heads. Without the Spirit, this work cannot be done, though. Without it, cannot be done. So we can't do it on our own will. We can't just say, cool, he gave me this 10 minus. I'm going to go over here and use my own minus that I have, and I'm going to save his. No, we can't do that. We have to use his. There's power in that. The Holy Spirit, you have to access it. There is a group of people who Satan has convinced that the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit working in you is something to be feared, and he's placed a fear of the Holy Spirit on some people, and so they won't access that power that's there. But I tell you, that is the power that you desperately need to access. We cannot accomplish what God has asked us to without it. We all in agreement with that? Okay, yeah, I like that. And I like this as well because it gives us no place to boast. Later on, the servant says, your minus has allowed me more minus. So he can't boast that he has done any of the work because the Holy Spirit inside of us is doing the work, right? We are simply accessing that power. It's the Holy Spirit doing the work. When I lead a student to the Lord, it is not me doing it, so I cannot boast in it. And that person, that student who has received the Lord cannot boast in it because they have no power to save themselves. They have to rely on the power of the Lord Jesus. Correct? Correct. Ephesians 2:8, this is not your doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. And there he's talking about spiritual gifts, but it lines up with what we're talking about. We have no room to boast in anything that we do. If we're accessing the Holy Spirit, it's God doing it. Correct? Okay. So this is what we're going to get to. In this parable, you have two types of servants. You have good servants and bad servants. And that's the only way this can be broken down, is good servants and bad servants. It says he called 10 servants, but he only shows us 3 servants, right? He only shows us the address of 3. It's because there's only 2 options. You're either a bad servant, and you're rebelling against what the Lord has asked and called you to do and has given you the ability to do, or you're doing it, and you're the good servant. Does that make sense? We're one of two. There's no in-between. There's no just, I'm just going to chill in the middle, so that I don't have to do anything. You know when you go into a pool And a lot of pools, they kind of gradually go into the deep end. But you can kind of stand in that point where it's up to your neck, but you're not in the deep end, but you're not in the shallow end either. You still kind of have to use your arms to balance. There's none of that here. It's either you're all in the deep end or you're all in the shallow. Actually, you're on the shore. You're on the shore or you're in the deep end. There's no in between here. It's just a straight drop. I don't know if you guys noticed, but when you go to Donner Lake, that's where we went, the water is freezing. It is freezing. It's like Tahoe. It's just, it is. One day we went swimming and the wind was blowing as well. And we had these little rafts. And fighting against that wind was probably like an hour workout just with no break in between. It was the worst. Correct, guys? And it was freezing. And we were like, we spent maybe 30 minutes there. We're like, we're out. This is not going to happen. So if you don't like really, really cold water, get a kayak. Because it is, there weren't very many people swimming in it. And I understand why. It's just really, really cold. Luckily, we had a pond, so we went and swam in the pond. Okay, so success in our life, the gauge for success in our life needs to be good servant, bad servant. That's what it needs to be, whether we're good or servant. So we need to gauge the success of our life of whether or not we have or are being good and faithful servants. I talk to our seniors about this when they graduate, because the first thing you have on your mind when you're going to be an adult is I want to be successful. And a lot of people, we have many different ideas of what success is and isn't, right? And you talk to anyone, they're like, success for me is owning my own house. Success for me is having a great relationship. Success for me is this or that. But I think our gauge for whether our life is successful is good servant or bad servant. Have we served the Lord well, or have we rebelled against his will? Good servant, bad servant. And those are the only two categories, because that's all there is. I put it twice on here. What did I put it twice on here for? It's that important. Somebody needs to hear that this morning, I guess. There's the only two options, guys. Bad servant, good servant. There's no in between. Rebellious, not rebellious. Rebellious. Someone who loves the Lord and doesn't love the Lord, right? Let's go. Run well, where he says run well.
Run as a race.
Well, yeah, it's yeah. So I am running my own race well. I am focused on what the Lord is wanting to do through me.
You gotta run in the right direction.
Yeah, you have to run in the right direction. The Paul tells us, as Glenn's saying, we are running a race right now. There's an end. And there's a beginning. There's an end, and then there's the opposite way, basically. You're either running toward the goal of being a good servant, you're running towards the prize, or you're running away from the prize. Correct? Yeah. What are you guys doing? Are you running for it? You're running away from it. There's only two options. So here's what a good servant does. So I've talked about we want to be good servants. This is what we want to do. These are the only two options. Now, how is it that we can be good servants? How do we know our tank is full? We have a gas meter on our car, right? It gauges our level. How do we know that we are being the good servant rather than the bad servant? So we're going to go over that. A good servant, I like this a lot. So if you're going to write anything down, you write this down, okay? A good servant adopts and aligns their will with the master. A good servant adopts and aligns their will with the master. I got to tell you a story real quick. When Devin had his graduation, Blake had a few people watching his house. And I was one of the ones that got to go over and tend to the yard and all that stuff. I really enjoy that. So I went and I tend to the yard for about a week and a half. And I was back there and I was thinking, I was like, you know what? How would Blake want this done? I'm like, okay. So I'm looking at his yard. He has a pretty good sized yard too. I'm looking at his yard. I'm mowing it. I'm cutting it right. I'm thinking it's going to be a super hot week coming up. We're going to cut it high. I'm thinking, you know what? Blake probably really cares about his daughters. I know he does. So I'm going to make sure I don't leave any of my tools out. I'm going to make sure this is a safe area for his daughters to play. I'm going to clean up all of the toys real quick because I'm here to serve them. And then the Lord, it's like a little snap in my head. He said, that's it. That is what I expect from my servants. Put your will to the side. Throw it out. It's garbage. Adopt mine. Take my will on. Do my will. The problem that we have, I think, a lot of times is that when we're serving others, the main hiccup in our head is that we don't understand why someone wants it that way. We just don't understand, and so it causes such a wall in our life. The best example for me, and it's easy for me because I don't really understand music that well, so this is an easy area in my life. When I'm playing drums and Mike says, adjust this, I just adjust it. I don't understand one way or the other, really, but I see a lot of the times I'll ask somebody to do something. Say I'm with a community service worker or something we have here at the Salt Mine, or even my sisters or any of the boys. I say do something. If they don't understand my logic behind doing it, it's like a wall. They're like, wait, what? And they ask me, and I have to explain it to them and all this. And God says, no, just adopt my will. You don't have to understand the full extent of my plan. In fact, you never really will. It's too high up. It's too great for you. Just do my will. How many of you guys have run into that? Someone asks you to do something, and it's just like, I don't understand why they would want it done like this. Why would anybody do this, right? And actually, that's one of my main complaints about some people is like, I do not understand. Who in their right mind would do it this way? Or why do it that way? And it's fine when somebody else is doing it, but the problem that we have is when someone has asked us to do it a way that we don't understand. And God's saying, just do it my way. Adopt my will. It's going to be okay. I have a plan. I got this. That's what I tell Riley all the time. I said, it's okay. It's going to be okay. We got this. Everything's going to be all right. Just going to calm the waters. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The evil servant knew what the master would expect and didn't align his will with that of the master. He came up with some sorry excuse, and he didn't align his will with the master's. In fact, he adopted his own. He didn't understand. Why does it? You know, it seems to me like the master doesn't want to do any of the work, and he's having me do the work. You know what? I'm burying this money. He can get it when he comes back. You know what? It seems to me that he just wants more money. What a greedy person. I'm not going to support a greedy person. You know, it seems to me that there's a much better way to go about doing this. Why should I do it? I'm one of the best servants. I'm not going to do this. Do you see that? He doesn't adopt the will of the Father, but the other two adopt the will of the Master, and they are called the good servants. Adopt the will of the Master. Make it your own. It's not my will be done, but yours be done. In fact, I want my will to be your will. I want them to just flow together. I want every thought that I have, every idea that I have to be that of the Father's. How simple would our lives be if every thought, every motion, everything we did was that of the will of the Father? And I think everything would just flow so much smoother. But the problem is sometimes I find myself being the rebellious servant. And I'm out here doing whatever I want, and I've totally forgotten about the will of the Father. This morning, think about that. I believe this morning that the Lord's putting areas of my life, highlighting an area of my life, and he's saying, is that my will or is that yours? Correct it. Make it mine. Adopt mine. So I enjoy working with other people. I really enjoy watching father-daughter, parents and their kids working together. As much as you want to work next to somebody, you'll never see people that know each other better than the kid and the parent, because the kid has obeyed the parent, hopefully, for their entire life so far. And so oftentimes I'll even see Luke or Joe, or I'll see Eric with his boys, and we'll be doing some sort of project, and I hear he's going to want it done this way. We might as well just do it this way. And then we're going to, but we could do it this way, but he's going to want it done this way. So we ought to do it this way. But we don't understand why he wants it done this way. You know what? Just because he's a different generation, you know, we're just going to have to accommodate that. And it's great to see, but that is basically what we're going through. We're saying, I could do it this way. God really wants it done this way. And we know that. Oftentimes we know exactly what we're supposed to do and not do. And we're just the rebellious servant go the other way. There are very few times where we are oblivious to right and wrong. Very few times. In those times, if you ever are, seek counsel. It's a great thing. The work of Christ, though, is to love, to walk in the Spirit, and bear fruit. The product of this work is the ability to expose the world to the love of Christ and bring about disciples. That's our number that we use for success in our youth group. We don't want just sheer numbers in the youth group. What I really want is our number of students that we're capable and able to disciple going up. I mean, if we have 1,000 students and none of them are being discipled, what is the point of what we're doing, right? We're called to make disciples. So with our students, I'm like, that is my gauge for a successful youth group. Am I serving the Lord while making disciples? Are we discipling them? But Eric said a few weeks ago, and this just stuck in my head, that we are called to produce fruit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We're called to produce this fruit, but it is for other people to eat, right? And he said, is it for other people to eat? I don't even think I heard the rest of the sermon. I had to listen to it later because I was so just locked in on that, as if like someone just bopped me on the head and it just all clicked. I was like, that makes so much sense. It does. But we are called to bear fruit that the world may eat it, that the world may benefit from it, and that we may be able to make disciples. We're exposing people to the love of Christ. I said the last time, we're a conduit for God's love. We're a conduit of God's. And we want to expose the world to this. A good servant adopts the will of the master. The will of the master is for us to go and make disciples. Now, a good servant also lays excuses to the side, because there's plenty that you could choose from. He could have chose any number of them. A good servant lays the excuses to the side. I want you to understand this. I'm looking at verse 14. Now, remember, the nobleman has come to establish a kingdom. He comes to this place, and it says, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. So the work that these servants were doing was in the midst of people who hated them because they hated their master. He's saying, look, there's any number of excuses. There's danger in doing this. You're not going to be liked by everyone. In fact, you're probably going to get hurt by a lot of people. They're going to push back. They don't like me. They're not going to like you. They hate me. So what's that say about you? Go and do my work. And this is the realm in which the Lord is sending these servants to go and do work, and us as well, right? We're being sent to do this work in the midst of a place that is not kind. It'd be great if the only place that we had to do this was right here on Sunday mornings, right? It'd be like, it would be awesome. It'd be like, hey, have you guys heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to talk to you. Man, I sound like a Mormon there, spending too much time around them. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I took some of them out to lunch this week, and we had a little discussion. They don't talk to me that much about deep stuff anymore. But I enjoy it. I think the one thing that they don't like is I say, thank you for telling me about your belief and challenging me, because it's made me such a stronger Christian. I would find myself, you know, they would say this, I'd be like, you know what, that makes a lot of sense there. And I find myself multiple times in the week when I talk to them in Blake's office, talking to Eric, talking to Glenn, like, what does this mean? It just made my roots go even deeper into my beliefs. And it was great. So I thank them for that. So we'll see. Anyways, where was I? Oh, yeah, danger. There is danger. We go out, and I want you to think about this. Think about your daily life outside of Sunday mornings right now. That is where the Lord is having you serve. That is where you are to do his work. Right there. Right in the midst of it. We have such a... I can't think of any word, but a nasty culture these days, right? It is not kind to the way that we live. It just, people don't like it anymore, and they never really have, but it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And so we are all doing the Lord's work in the midst of a toxic culture, right? There's no excuse for any of us. We go and we do it. That's where you're planted. A lot of times we want to save that work for when we're here on Sundays. We want to toss that work over to our friend who's a great witness. We want to say, no, I think I'm going to wait till I get my next job, and I'll start fresh there where people don't know me yet, and I'll just restart there. No, right in the midst of where you are is where you're called to do your business. So good servants lay excuses to the side, and good servants produce eternal profits. He's saying at the end, show me what you have to return to me. These are eternal prophets. These are things that, you know, we're taking the Holy Spirit, which the Lord has given us to do his work. And then when Jesus comes back, all the work that we've done produces something in eternity. Does that make sense? Like, a lot of times we think of, when we do work here on earth, it'll last a little while, you know? I mean, it won't last that long, but it'll last a little while. It's not going to last forever, but the work that we're doing through the Holy Spirit lasts forever. It doesn't go away. We can rest assured that the work that we are doing is not a waste of our time. I think as I've done different studies with Blake, I've discovered in my life that I do not like to waste time. If I'm doing something that I feel is just a waste of time, I don't like doing it. And there's some deeper stuff there, but how many of you guys like to waste your time? Just waste away. Oh, we got one. How many of you guys just like to be a sloth all day in front of the TV and you feel good at the end of the day? No, I don't. And no one's going to agree to it. Oh, we got a few honest people. Okay. There's the kids. The kids, that's what they're doing all summer long. Hey, if any of you guys got some jobs, if any of you guys are moving, there's some students that are just being lazy all day in front of the TV. Oh, we got another one. So, like, if you're thinking, oh, those kids are busy. They're not. They're right there. You can hit them up anytime. If you need me to do it, I'll do it for you. We'll get them your way. But so good servants produce eternal fruits. We can rest assured that what we're doing is not a waste of time. There is danger in it. But if I'm going to do anything that's worthwhile, that has danger around it, it's going to be the thing that's going to last eternity, right? There's going to be nothing that's going to stop me from doing that. I'm going to do that. What if you could build yourself a house now that would last eternity for you and future generations, and you and your family never had to worry again? You didn't have to do a repair on it. You didn't have to do anything on it. The grass cut itself somehow. There are no weeds, nothing. You just do it. I'm not focused on, you know, the water heater breaking down or anything. I want that grass. I want the lines. It needs to be edged well. Give me some of that fertilizer. I don't know why, but I really enjoy mowing and landscaping and that stuff. I don't know why. I really enjoy it, down to the point where I'm starting to collect these different instruments that tell me how healthy the yard is. Like, tell me the pH of this yard. I was going around Blake's yard the other day, just, okay, we're good. Tell me how much light this is getting. Tell me all this. Okay.
You stole my meter.
Yeah, I stole her meter to do that. And like on Amazon, you know, you can get this. If any of you guys, you can get this. You go on Amazon and you can get a soil test kit. You ship it off. They tell you what's in your yard. And you know exactly what to buy, right? Okay, we're off. Yeah, dirt. Yeah, this message brought to you by, I'm doing a sponsorship for someone and I'm getting paid for it. Anyways. So a good and faithful servant produces eternal fruit. What I basically want to say to that is, do not be careless with the power that you have access to. You have access to this great power given to us and paid for by Jesus' blood. And there is a work that needs to be accomplished with it. There's a reason why the nobleman didn't give his servants, you know, a bakery to go bake food. He didn't give them bread so they could eat. He gave them money. Because they needed to do business. He's given it, he says, exactly what we need to do his business. Exactly. If you're looking around, I want you to picture this. Picture your Monday through Friday, wherever you're at. The Lord's giving you exactly what you need to bring about change in that realm. Right? Exactly what you need. He's saying, look, I want this to change right here. I want these lives to be affected. I want them to be impacted. I've placed you here and given you exactly what you need. You have access to this great power. Use it. I don't remember who I told this to. I think it was one of the kids or something. I said, if you had a 5-acre yard, there we go, back to landscaping. If you have a 5-acre field or something, and you have a pair of scissors or a big old riding lawnmower, which one are you going to mow the lawn with? Oh, a lawnmower. You have access to the power, but too many of us are picking up the scissors trying to clip away because we're afraid of that lawnmower over there. Or we're afraid of what people will say of us when we hop on it and start making progress and change and eternal fruits.
That's good.
Oh, yeah? Okay, good. I wasn't sure, so thank you. That's how we're going to wrap it up. I want to stand before the Lord and him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want him to show him. I say, Lord, I have taken the spirit which you have given me, the power which you have access to, and I used it well. And he's going to say, you know what, Stephen, you did. You used it well. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning as we have opened ourselves up that you have looked in and pointed areas of our life out that need some change. That you reveal to us that we have access to your spirit to affect your will in whatever realm we're in. Show us, Lord, how to walk daily in your spirit. And I pray, Father, that you encourage us and push us and just do not stop showing us how to be a servant, where at the end of the day, we have pleased you and you only. I thank you for this body, Father, that I get to stand before and present your will and your word. Thank you, Lord, this morning. I ask that as we leave here, what you have spoken to each of our hearts just rings true throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen.